The year of freedom. That's what we're talking about this year. The year of freedom. Again, you're going to be seeing a lot of activity for America. 250 years. Amazing, isn't it? Every day it's a battle to keep your freedom. Someone wants to take it away. There's someone out there that wants to tell you how they think you ought to act. And they want to tell you how to spend your money. Amen. That you're working hard for. They'll even take it from you and show you that they know better how to spend it, and they don't. Those are governments. Oh, yes, I'm a supporter of the United States government. We got a lot of crazy people there, too. A lot of folk who are not looking for the best of their fellow man. But we still are a Christian nation. And because Christ focuses on us as a nation, trust me, He's the one that can handle any situation that's going on. So let's look today at God's freedom. God's freedom grace, love grace, receive grace. I've watched grace at work. So the grace that Christ gives us is an amazing grace. Ought to be a song, Randy. An amazing grace that can reach right down to the depth of a problem and give you peace. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, according to Scripture, was looking at the earth that hadn't been formed yet, because God started everything. God owns everything. God created you. Now, God was not surprised about Adam in the Garden of Eden. There was no surprise that man was going to mess up. The Scripture tells us, but that God had a plan for us, for His creation, before time began. God knew when you were going to come around. And the Scripture said that He prepared beforehand the walk that you would need to do on His behalf. Can you imagine? Only the mind of God could do that. And He saw how man would fall away. Before man fell away, don't you ever attempt to put any kind of limit on God. You hear me? Well, you know, but God can't do this. God can do. If there's any restrictions on God, He restricts Himself. If God decides not to do, okay, I will not do this, that's God. God cannot lie. Self-imposed. God's going to tell you the truth. What hurts us a lot of time? Truth. If you don't think the truth hurts, look in a mirror. All the surprises you get. Brother Larry, where did all that pretty hair go? I don't know. It's so long ago, it ain't pretty anymore. But you see, God prepared beforehand grace. Grace is called unmerited favor. I don't deserve it. I can't work and get it. It's a free gift from God. But also, He gives me the wisdom to know I don't have a right to rape grace. I don't have a right to misuse my freedom through grace. I am obliged to my Creator who saved my soul to put a smile on my face, because I know God will always love me. He sent his son to die for me. And in case I haven't told you all lately, God, Jesus knows my name. If you know Jesus, Jesus knows your name. You're going to heaven because of who Jesus is, not because of who you are. That's where grace comes in. Amazing grace. Titus 2, verse 11. God's freedom grace is available for everyone. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever, for everyone. Titus 2, 11. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. All people. Not just some. Whosoever will, let him come. But you have the freedom through grace. God says, you don't have to come. I'm not going to make you be a Christian. But when you freely give from your heart, repent of your sins. Father, forgive me, a sinner. Okay. It takes grace to do that. I guarantee you, you look back in your life, and then you thank God for the grace. Because if you'll look at your life and your past and your walk, or maybe right now in the present, you'll understand that only the grace of God gives me the strength to stand today to proclaim the Word of God. It's God's grace. It's a freedom that I have. You can take everything away from me, but you cannot take my salvation. When Jesus got a hold of me, he grabbed me. I didn't grab Jesus. I'm weak. And if the weight gets too much or the pull is so strong, I could let go. You remember when Jesus looked down at Peter, here he is walking on water. That took a lot of grace for Peter. Boy, if you knew his background, a lot of grace there. He's going along, but what did he do? He saw the storm around him. He saw the waves of life, and he became afraid. Walking on water. Now, you would think that a human being walking on water other than Jesus Christ would be able to appreciate I'm walking on water and total trust given to Jesus. But that's our humanity. God knew we would be human with human frailties, human faults, human weaknesses. And Jesus looked down at Peter. And you know what Peter said? Now listen to me. You'll need this statement throughout your life. Save me, Lord. Yeah, he was already born again. But the storms of life frightened him so much that he was going to drown. Save me, Lord! Pay attention. Peter did not grab a hold of Jesus. Jesus grabbed him. Great lesson for us, folks. And when you're in the hands of Jesus, nobody going to pull you out of his hands. You got it? And he pulls him up. Oh, ye of little faith. He said that a lot to his disciples. We look at them, you think, isn't it amazing they got to walk with Jesus? Oh, it's amazing what they got to see. But they still had a human condition that needed grace. You are still a human being, Christian, and you're going to mess up. You got me? If you don't think you don't mess up, you just messed up. And Jesus, call out to him, Lord, save me. Well, I'm already saved, aren't I? Yep. But you're going to get in over your head in deep water. The storms will rage around you. Satan wants to kill your witness. Let's show the world that Jesus is not at work today. You have nation upon nation that give anything to destroy the United States of America. And the only thing that stops them and keeps them, listen, yes, we have a mighty army, military. There's no country in the world that has greater. But I'm telling you, you shut the doors of the churches, America will fall. You stop the flow of the Word of God. Stand for Jesus, because you've been given the grace to speak up. You've been given the power and the authority of Almighty God. Therefore, stand for what is right. Speak the words of God. Love with all your heart. And when they get so ornery, they don't even seem like they're lovable anymore. Love them anyway. Because if they said yes to Jesus Christ, you got to live with them in heaven throughout eternity. Might as well start getting along, folks. Start loving. You got to love me whether you like it or not. I've always loved that one. And not only that, if I need to remind you, very important to do so, because Jesus knows my name. And I know his name. And that's the name I'm going to use. And nobody asked me, but Larry, do you feel like you've been good enough? There's nothing good about me, nothing. I'm a human being. My goodness is through the Christ who is in me. He knows my name. And I use his name all the time. That's okay. You all keep picking on me. I'm going to tell Jesus on you. What sounds like kid stuff, isn't it? Do you ever have Jesus after you? You don't want that. But Jesus watches his children. We might be a mess, but we're his mess. And he loves us. God's freedom grace is required for salvation. Listen to Ephesians 2, 8 and 10 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship. You look like God wanted you to look. You hear me? You're his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. If we're not doing good works, we're not doing God's will. What's the matter with love? That's the most powerful word. All, every one of them, all the laws of the Old Testament are summed up in the one word, love. When you got love in your heart, you'll love your fellow man. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I told you this a while ago, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I couldn't be born until God's time. Everything's on God's time. Because God had work for me to do in this generation. Now, when that work's over, I'm out of here. But that's okay. I'll see you later. You know, Jesus, I'll see you later. You don't have to worry about whether St. Peter's at the Golden Gate. I don't have any idea whether he's there or not. But I do know who is. And I do know that Jesus says that he's appointed angels for us. And at the time my spirit separates from this body, I'm carried. Now, why would I need to be carried by angels into the heavenly realm of Christ? Because there's still a great spiritual warfare going on, folks. If you don't believe it, just look at your mind. Tell me there's not spiritual warfare going on, right? And we're carried, though, right into our new eternal home. Nothing like it. What a ride. Talk about a song, "I'm Just Waiting for My Ride," Brother Randy. What a ride. But you and I, before we leave, we keep forgetting something. There are people that aren't saved yet. There are people that haven't heard the word yet. And there's somebody out there that God waited for you to be born for you to minister to them. Waited for the right time. The right time for them, when they're maybe completely down in every area of their or aspect of their life, and God sent you to give them a smile, perhaps for a child. Maybe your smile or your pat on the head or your kind words to a child may be the only kind words they've heard in their life. A lot of that going on now. Don't you ever miss an opportunity to tell your kids you love them. Don't you ever miss that opportunity. It's called grace. It's required for salvation, God's word. God's freedom, grace is, that's all you need. You don't need anything more than God's grace. You got all the power in God's grace. You got all the love in God's grace. Listen to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. "But he said to me," this is Paul, God love him, great apostle. We got about 16 books of the New Testament by him. His background, oh gosh, pretty horrible. God had, Paul said he had a thorn in his flesh. God had sent him a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh. Now, no, I didn't believe it when I heard it as a young kid. I don't think it was his wife. No. I remember in the old days, they say, you know, must have had a wife there. It'd been good had he had one. But he said to me, when Paul said, three times he asked the Lord, "Lord, take this thorn from my flesh." But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness," or your weakness, Paul. "Therefore," Paul said, "I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." That's grace. Grace abundantly. It never ends. Listen to John 1, verse 16 through 18. "From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another." Old English that I love. Grace upon grace. Grace doesn't run out. Receive one gracious blessing after another, for the law was given through Moses. But God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son is Himself God. And is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us because He's gracious. And He gives us grace. You don't have to know how to spell grace to receive grace. You don't have to know how to spell Christian to become a Christian. You don't have to know how to spell Jesus to have Him in your heart, in your spirit. Do you know Jesus? Yes, I know Jesus. Do you ever meet Him personally? Yeah, I met Him personally. Right where it counts. Right inside this physical body is a spirit. Only part of this body that's going to make it to heaven. Because the body, the flesh, is evil. But the spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. Paul kept learning that. But that was grace. He appreciated grace. We should appreciate the grace. But because I appreciate it, I have a responsibility to treat it with respect. Amen. And to tell others about the gracious love, the gracious hope, the gracious peace. It's the Spirit of who you really are that's going to be in heaven. Larry Pete's body is not going to make it, but Larry Pete's going to be there. And I'll tell you what, when I get to that gate, it's not over how many times I've been to church or how many sermons I've preached or any of this. Larry, how are you here? By the grace of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know His name. Whew, I'm using His name. Get through that. And He knows me. He's already let His Father know me. You can't separate God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. No, you can't. One God choosing three ways to relate to His most favorite of creation, the human race. He loved me enough to let His Son hang in agony on a cross to give His life. He loved me and you so much that He would not let Him stay dead. And God came looking for His boy. And He resurrected His Son to put a cap on. This is my Son, the first of the resurrection. Those who call on His name will never see death. So the body's going to break. I'm going to hit the floor. I may do it right in front of you all. I know that'll throw you. That'll wake you up. But I want you to know, you listen real close, Brother Randy, because you just might hear your pastor shouting on the way out. Because before this body hits the floor, my spirit's with Christ. And in saying that, I'll see you later. Don't you forget. God loves you like you are. Let Him remold you, remake you. Not the rules of man. That's God's Word. And it doesn't get better than God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the blessings, the joy, and for the hope we have through grace. Father, I never preach a message the way I think I'm going to, and I thank You for that. I ask now, Father, as You touch each of us, You will give us the wisdom to understand how much You love us, that great love that abounds forever and ever. And Father, that one day we will all be with You in Your glory, in Your home, where Your Son has prepared a place for us to be. Thank You, Father, for Your Holy Spirit that indwells each of us and gives us that hope, gives us victory, and that protection. We ask now the blessing upon each one. In Jesus' name, amen. During a